Dan, I was curious, when you're out there, or when you were promoting the Ballad of Cowboy Dan, which I have a couple things I want to surprise you with here in a second, but...
Been nominated for a Grammy?
Yeah. You should have been. It really, you know, it drives me crazy that this album, you know, that mainstream critics haven't had a piece of this album and positioned it where it belongs. It's, if you're listening to this podcast, and I tell everybody this, hit pause and listen to one of these tracks. I mean, I love the Ballad of Cowboy Dan, the whole album. What I was going to ask, though, Dan, some of the songs that you played live from that album, which ones went over really well with the audience?
That's a good question. I Can Feel Love Closing In.
Love that
song. We did that. Yeah, and we got the audience to sing the outro a cappella, which was at a couple of shows, which was really beautiful.
I think you may have shared that on Instagram.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was good. What else?
Did you play Old Betty?
Oh, yeah. Old Betty's a real crowd favorite, too.
And that one, that people, song, Dan, it doesn't really resemble too many other songs in your back catalog.
No. It's almost like a children's song, I suppose. It's a bit twee.
My kids love it.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
My oldest, you may have seen my oldest son, he loves the title track. I mean, we listened to it a year ago, we listened to it a month ago. He loves it.
Yeah. I didn't play that one much. Well, thank you. I didn't play that one much live because I didn't do that many sort of theatery shows. I did a couple, but most of them were in sort of pubs, and I felt that, yeah, pub shows are pretty raw, and yeah, it was difficult to kind of slow down that much for the audience, I think. But I would like to, I'm going to definitely play that song live. I suppose when I release the spoken words stuff, I'll incorporate that. I'll fold that into that show, and that will be more of a listening show rather than a pub rock show.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just trying to think of what other songs are on that, are on the last album.
Here We Go Again. I think Here We Go Again was one of the last singles.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That went down well. Here We Go Again. And,
I'm the Shit.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We didn't play that a lot. Probably should have. And there's another one. My Last Picture Show. I really enjoyed playing that. Losing Love Is Dangerous. Yeah, that was a good rocker kind of song. Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun presenting the new album. It worked pretty well with the old songs.
Dan, here's what I was going to surprise you with, and I hold on to a lot of things. I don't throw a lot of stuff away. When I ordered a T-shirt and a CD from you, of course, you packaged the items together, threw in a sticker. That's,
oh yeah,
people can see this, Dan Brody and the Grieving Widow. Sometimes you play with those fellas. Really nice note here from Dan. Hi, Dan. Thanks for the great Dan time and for all your support. All the best, Dan.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Got my own embossed. I thought that was a pretty funny thing to do.
I don't.
Your own letterhead or something.
Oh, yeah. I always, sometimes I forget when I have musicians and songwriters on to draw some attention to their merch, to the store section on the website, because that's always a lot of fun when you follow artists, especially independent artists, to get a little piece of memorabilia. But Dan has really, if you want to order a CD or anything from the website, it's a fun package that's going to come in the mail to you. Dan's got some colorful items. Some stuff that you may want to hand off to the kiddos, you name it. But just want to draw attention to your website, www.danbrody.com.au. Is it?
Yeah.
Any merch that you're promoting right now?
Not really. There's plenty of stuff on there on Bandcamp, which I think is danbrody.bandcamp.com. No, I mean, there's plenty of, yeah, there's stuff from all over my career, t-shirts and things. I always chuck in a badge or something extra. I feel like I have a pretty good bond with my fans. They largely leave me alone, but I've got a core group of people that as soon as I release something, they jump right on and buy it, and that's really gratifying.
Yeah, if you're listening to this and you've ordered merchandise from a mainstream act that you follow, it comes in the mail and it's great. But if you order something from Dan, you just might get it in his handwriting on the outer envelope. You might get a note, you might not, but I don't want to overpromise. But it's going to be an exciting day when you walk out to the mailbox and there's your batch of goodies from Dan Brody. So take advantage of that.
Yeah.
It's an all around experience, very flavorful getting into Dan Brody. Whether you're in the car, you got the AirPods in, or you see him live, or you order the merchandise.
Thank you.
I got so carried away here, Dan. I didn't really mention a whole lot. Love for a Cruel Beauty. How'd you decide to? It's all stripped down except for the heavy breathing track, the kind of repetitive breathing. How did that come about? How did this song come about?
Well, it was I guess lyrically it's pretty obvious. It's a tale of the lengths that we go to bring ourselves some perceived happiness from another person that might not necessarily be reciprocal. It's based on a true story, although, it's dramatized. It's for dramatic effect. It's, has a bit more thrown into it, of course, but it's largely true. I love that saying, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. So I think embellishment is a worthwhile, highly underrated skill. And yeah, and the breathing, as I said, each piece is just the vocal at the moment. So deciding what to add on or not add anything is sometimes a tough choice. I guess I wanted to capture just constant anxiety and it's related to the opening of the poem or the story where the guy's running and on a mission. But it doesn't really, yeah. The story doesn't solve that. I mean, the breathing, heavy breathing is right till the very end. So maybe the guy, the narrator, should be looking elsewhere, that feeling that he's after, that he's chasing.
You describe it so eloquently. I think this is some of your most imaginative prose. The way it ends, I struttered and spluttered, blood-flecked and broken, staggering hopelessly along the old town road, headed for the tote. One more for the frog and one for the sorry toad. Love for a cruel beauty brought me here, repeated at the end.
Yeah, I guess it's a snapshot of a different time in my life. I like to think I wouldn't be that crazy at this point in my life, but hey, who knows? The tote is a famous, semi-infamous music venue in Melbourne that they've tried to shut down. It's a really old school rock and roll venue. And I played there a bunch of times in the past. And so, yeah, I was quite happy to footnote the tote or to feature the tote in the story.
People, places, and past romances. And this one is one where very relatable as well, where your heart skips a beat. And you're so excited about a love interest who could almost care less about you, depending on the day. But you're just fighting so hard for their reciprocation there.
I tried not to make it too stalkerish, I mean, I hope that I get across that ultimately the woman is under no threat at any point. It's the guy that's under the threat to himself. Yeah, I mean, I think that's what I find funny about the story.
Dan, without revealing too much with your personal life, do you still find yourself even flirting on a nonverbal level with someone across the way? Do you have? I'm unfortunately past some of those moments in my domesticated existence.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm not sure what you mean.
Do you have moments with someone who might be a love interest, or it's just a playful glance across?
Yeah, yeah, plenty. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah.
It never gets old, does it?
No. But yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've got plenty of friends and, you know, lots of great relationships with tons of people. So, I have a good life.
Well, a couple more questions, and really, I guess the one that might be on other people's minds. I'm sure there's more singles to come from this project. And what does the next few months look like?
I'm gonna just be releasing singles every, say, once a month, and working on building up an album's worth of material, and hopefully possibly a book to go with it, and playing as well in a bunch of people's bands, which I love to do. That keeps me busy. I love playing in bands and contributing to, you know, singer-songwriter's vision. That's a relatively new thing for me too. So there's sort of two things going on, and beyond that, I'm sure that will come out next year. Beyond that, I'm not sure. I mean, like what happened with this project, the genesis of it in a way came from the final track, which is the title track, Ballad of Cowboy Dan. That to me was a nice step forward for me artistically, to do a spoken word piece on a record. That stood out for me on the album, actually, that piece. And that led me to this, I think.
That's quite possibly my favorite song on the album, is the title track. And
yeah,
it bookends so well, in my opinion, with I Can Feel Love Closing In. So a little bit of spoken word to kick off that.
That's true. Yeah. A friend of mine said to me on Thursday night that she swims laps to the Ballad of Cowboy Dan, the title track. I thought that was a nice thing that she finds it meditative enough and inspiring enough to keep her hands going over and not sink to the bottom.
And I know some of the you're breathing life into a persona that's been created by other people, as far as Cowboy Dan. But those lyrics, they're so fun to sing. I mean, I'm the Shit is, it's so enjoyable to sing along to. And everybody knows personalities like that. And I think you even mentioned on that podcast, and this one's introduced by, that it's kind of saying, you know, part of the fun of life is some of these outsized personalities. And then the Ballad of Cowboy Dan, just very grandiose descriptions of oneself. You know, hey, it's me, Cowboy Dan. I've been around since before the world began.
A long time.
Yeah. Which is, I had to include this. My son, Warren, he asks me all the time, Daddy, how old is Cowboy Dan? You might like this. I always tell him, I said, well, he's at least 400 years old. I just feel like that's a good round number that he can get his head around. He's like,
that's
good
start.
Well.
that's really funny. How old is your son?
He's 7 years old.
Oh, that's a nice age. Yeah.
But we listened to that song in the car together, and he loves the parts raised by mountains and, am I saying this right, valleys and streams. Look for me in the middle of your dreams. I'll be the one whistling the lonesome tune. I mean, riding high under a supermoon.
Yeah.
I particularly love, I think, the last vocal line, come on, baby, let's kill them all.
Yeah.
Could you describe that or how that?
Sure. I mean, that line is, you know, kind of loaded, I suppose. I wanted to end on a romantic gesture, and, you know, the romance of a, well, I mean, you know, the, the feeling that leads couples, for example, to like Mickey and Mallory, or, you know, Badlands, that would lead to a couple to go on a killing spree, for example. Like, what kind of obsessed, I suppose I often deal in extremes, as you can probably tell, the strong obsession of love that would lead a couple to go down that path, you know. But it's, you know, it's written in such a way that it just means that it's just you and me, babe, against the world. So I thought it was a nice romantic way to finish the record.
Well, I can't wait to see what's next, Dan. You've got a huge fan here on the Gulf
Thanks
Coast
a lot,
of Florida.
Dan.
And it excites me to no end to promote your music. And it drives me crazy to no end that certain people either haven't yet heard of Dan Brody, and I can't imagine anybody that has and has not been impacted in a big way.
I appreciate that.
Dan, let's try to reconnect before the year mark again. We were talking.
Yeah.
It doesn't, now talking to you this evening for me and afternoon for you, it doesn't feel like a year has passed. It feels like this conversation we picked up from a week or two ago.
Yeah, it does.
It's great to see you, and I wish you all the best.
Thanks a lot, Dan. You too. And thanks for taking the time out to listen to my stuff and let me explore, you know, what I do, because I don't really get a chance to do that very often. So I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. And finally, anything that you'd like to plug that we didn't cover, any upcoming performances?
There'll be shows next year, so I'll keep you abreast of those. And yeah, I think it's going to be a really exciting year next year, 2025. So.
Okay, well, that's it for this episode of the Dan Time Podcast. We didn't talk about the Daniverse. I know you, one of the reasons that I enjoy you so much, Dan, is you appreciate the Dan Time theme and celebrating our Danhood together and just having fun with the name, the Daniverse and Danversations. I don't think I've written Danversations, like conversations, but we had a great one today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dan. And wishing you and your family Merry Christmas and safe holidays if you have them.
Merry Christmas to you as well, Dan.
Yeah.
That's it. Tell a friend about Dan Brody and have a great rest of your week. And we'll see you next Sunday on the Dan Time Podcast. Thank you, Dan Brody.